I've titled the message, which you heard a little while ago, Sometimes He Calms the Storm. I used to do storm chasing when I was a lot younger, back before the technology was that good or to kind of stay on top of where a storm was. I used to, specifically tornadoes. I loved to chase tornadoes back in the day until I caught one and dangerously close, scary close, as much as I enjoyed that kind of thing for a long, long time. Yeah, once you get within so many feet of something that's wiping houses out, I decided maybe I didn't want to chase them anymore because that one chased me. But there's a lot of different types of storms, and sometimes miracles happen by God keeping us from a storm, and sometimes miracles happen in the midst of a storm of life, and I have been witness to both. Many, many times over, I've been spared storms in my life. And many times I've seen God's faithfulness in the midst of a storm. I'll give you a couple examples, a story of a storm that I was spared from, being spared from the storm. Kim and I's wedding was outside. And on that day, it was at a park. So some of you were probably, I know some of you were there. All of you could have been there because it was outside, so there was just a lot of people, and I have no idea who all could have been in the crowd that day. Maybe you all were. And but it was a great time. But one person I know that was there was our neighbor, Brent, and Brent worked for Duke Energy and was in charge of disaster response for some units that they had that would go and track storms and then go in to reestablish the electricity once it was lost. And Brent was there, and he came over to me, and I don't think we all had apps at that point with good instant radar, but he had this device from Duke that was probably tied to the Duke satellite, and it had a great radar on there to see in real time what was going on. And so he walked over to me, and this is, I don't know, maybe an hour before the wedding's supposed to begin, and he looks at the device, and he says, "I hate to tell you this, but there's a storm coming, and it's not like a cell, it's a wall coming across the state." And he said, "You need to pray because this is going to hit about the time the wedding's supposed to start." And so I did. I prayed about a lot of things. It was my wedding day, so I'm a little nervous and praying about a whole lot. But I'm praying, and I'm walking around the area there in the park where the wedding's going to be. And shortly before the wedding begins, Kim shows up in a car. They bring her up, and I'm not supposed to see her until it's time, so she's going to get out right when the music's playing. And about the time I think Kim showed up, Brent came over to me again, and he said, "You're not going to believe this." And he showed me the radar, and 360 all around us with no brakes was storms. It had come and gone around us and joined back together on the other side and was going through. And the only place not getting any stormy weather was where we were. No rain coming down the entire wedding. No rain coming down the entire reception, which was also there in the park outdoors. At the very end, Kim and I are the last. There's one other person. There are three of us still at the park out of, like, I don't know, a couple hundred people. Everybody's gone. We're getting ready to get into my car and leave. We put the last thing in the car, and the rain comes down. It was a miracle. It was an absolute miracle. We were spared from that storm. That was so cool. I wish we'd been spared the second storm right after that, because the eye of the storm after that storm, we had this tranquil time called the honeymoon, and we went to Niagara Falls, and it was wonderful, and we were there for about a week, and then we went to New York, and it was great, and everything was peaceful and Skittles and unicorns, and it was wonderful. And then we got back and started doing the blended family thing, and we had a relentless storm for at least 2 years, every day. Very loud storm. There was a lot of yelling. It was bad. But God sustained us in that storm. Even when we felt like we were overwhelmed, even when we felt like the boat was sinking, even when we thought there was no hope at all, God kept sustaining us. Even when we didn't understand how, but just by His grace, He carried us through that storm until we came out on the other side. Tonight we're going to look at another storm. And if you'd like to turn in your Bible to Mark 4, verse 35. And I want to give you a little bit of context here for this. Mark 4, 35. This has been a really busy day for Jesus. He's been teaching and preaching and working miracles and spending time with this just massive amount of people and saving souls and just busy, just one thing after another after another. And he's exhausted. And so he's still teaching, but he gets on a boat just at the edge of the shore there to get the crowd like off of him. So he's teaching them from the boat, and he's just pouring out. He's pouring out mercy and truth and love and grace, and he's just, and then finally he's just like, I'm out. He's exhausted, and just physically exhausted, and so much so that we're going to see here in a few minutes that during the storm he's taking a nap because he's physically exhausted. But the nap is also intentional because he's going to test the faith of his followers. So starting in verse 35, Mark 4:35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was. He was already in the boat. There were also other boats with him. Now, I read that opening, and this is a happy moment for the disciples. If you just pause there and don't read any further. I mean, I'm really proud of them at this point because the disciples have hung out with Jesus all day. I mean, he's been going all over the place, you know, teaching and doing miracles and doing all this stuff, and his disciples are following him everywhere. They're listening. They're soaking it up. They're learning from him. They're taking it in. And then he gives them instructions. He says, let's go over to the other side. And so they're casting off, and they're being obedient. They're doing everything Jesus is telling them to do, and they're in the will of God. They're in the will of God. They're in the boat with the Lord. And then something very unexpected happens. Verse 37. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. So here's Jesus, and he's wanting to get some rest. He's tired. And they're crossing this lake, and here's this violent, fierce storm that blows up. Is Jesus in the will of the Father? Are the disciples in the will of the Father? I want to pause there for a minute because I know my prayer life and I know some of your prayer life, and we need to recognize that whether or not you're in a storm or whether it's smooth sailing is no indicator of whether you're in the will of God whatsoever. It isn't. And sometimes I think we assume otherwise, that we think that there's something wrong with us or somebody else, that we're not in God's will if life is stormy. A better indicator, a better way of determining if you're in the will of God or not, are you obeying Him? They're obeying Him. They did what He said to do. When you are in the Word of God and you see what the Word of God says to you and what God tells you, and then you understand what it means and how it applies to your life, the Holy Spirit's telling you, this is what I'm telling you. When you do it, you're in the will of God. That's what you're supposed to do. It's whether you do what God tells you to do, regardless of whether you find yourself in a storm because of it. Sometimes I think, you know, we pray, Lord, give me an open door and a smooth path, and then I'll know everything is groovy between us. And that is not reality. Sometimes He's like, hold on. Love you, but hold on. So there's this fierce storm. It's violent. Anybody ever been in a storm? Physically? Or the storms of life?
Yeah.
And you feel like you're going to drown. I mean, you feel like you're going to be overwhelmed. You feel like, I'm going to die. Whatever that situation, that trial, the things with storms is that a lot of times they're unexpected and they're threatening. And you don't have any control. And we get scary. You know, sometimes those storms threaten our happiness. Sometimes those storms threaten our dreams, our expectations, our life. And they're usually very unpleasant, and they're usually very scary. But here's the cool thing. If you're a child of God, that God has a purpose anytime there's a storm in your life. Storms are meant to test your faith. They're meant to strengthen your faith. They're meant to help you to know God more than you did before the storm and for your relationship to deepen with Him. The disciples here in this storm, they're dealing with three storms. They're dealing with the storm of circumstances that are beyond their control. They have no control over what's going on with these wind and waves and all this stuff. And because they have no control at all of this storm and some other reasons we'll get to, but now they've got a storm in their emotions. They're scared. They're living in fear. But they not only have those two storms, they have a third storm. They have a spiritual storm, a storm of their faith. Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Notice the words there. They're not just saying, "Jesus, would you help us?" They're questioning his character. They're saying, "Jesus, don't you even love us? Do you even care if we drown?" No, that's not the only time that happened to Jesus, Mary, and Martha. When Lazarus died, "Jesus, if you'd been here, our brother would still be alive." "No, Jesus, do you really care? Where were you? What's going on? Why are you sleeping?" Maybe you've been there in your own storm and asked something similar to that, where you're like, "Jesus, I'm in a storm here. Are you even awake? Are you even aware of what I'm going through? Jesus, where are you? If you're for me, why am I in this storm?" You know, whatever that is, "Jesus, don't you care about my pain? Jesus, don't you care about the storm of loneliness or depression or my finances or whatever the storm is? Jesus, I feel like I'm going under here. I'm going to drown. I'm sinking." Verse 39, he got up. I believe Jesus is so awesome, he didn't even have to get up. Really, he could have stayed asleep and dealt with the storm. He didn't have to get up. But they needed more than him physically just calming the storm. He needed to address some other things with them. They needed a faith check here. Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, peace, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" I read that and at first glance, I'm thinking, why is Jesus asking that? Why are you so afraid? Well, Jesus, there's a hurricane and we're on a fishing boat and we're taking water on. Why do you think we're afraid we're going to die? It looks like they're going to die. But that's stinking thinking. Let's go back to verse 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side. All of us together. Let us go." And at that point, they're excited to obey him. "Hey, we're going to hang out with Jesus some more. This is great. The water's nice and calm, smooth sailing. We're going to go for a boat ride. This is going to be good." And then there's a storm. And in their hearts and in their minds, suddenly their circumstances have more authority in their life than Jesus. They're believing in the power of the problem over the power of the promise they have from Jesus. Jesus has made a promise to them. This wasn't like the disciples had talked to Cousin Bill and he said, "Hey, front me $10 and I'll give it to you next week. You know I'm good for it." You know, and you know he's not. This is Jesus talking to them, okay? Jesus says, the Son of God says, "We are going to the other side. Together, we're all going to the other side." And the disciples chose to put greater faith in what they're seeing than what Jesus said. And the consequence of paying more attention to the circumstance than the promises of God is fear. Now they're afraid. Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." He didn't say there wouldn't be any storms. He just said, "Get in the boat. We're all going to the other side." Sometimes we pay too much attention to the winds and the waves, and we lose sight of his promise. think it's a good place just to be reminded of something. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, if you've done that, he made promises to you. He promised you that he would never leave you or forsake you, ever. That there's nothing that could take you from his grasp. He didn't say that there wouldn't be any storms. He didn't say that it wouldn't be difficult. But if you understand who it is who's made that promise to you, there is no power in heaven or earth or below the earth. There is nothing that can take you from that promise that he's made to you. Every promise in his word is true. Every storm that he allows in your life is meant to test your faith and to grow your faith, to strengthen it, to help you know who he is, and to help your relationship with him. Verse 39. Jesus got up. He got up. He rebuked the wind. He said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" You know what Jesus is really asking there in those two questions? The one question he's asking is, "Why didn't you believe me? Why didn't you believe me?" And here's their answer to his two questions. Here's their answer in verse 41. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this?" They're answering his two questions with a question of their own to each other. Who is this? What they're saying is, "We didn't believe you because we didn't know who you were." See, in their mind, they're thinking Jesus is really cool. Jesus is a great teacher. He can work some miracles. He's the Messiah, so maybe he's going to set up some kind of kingdom here. He does all this great stuff. They're thinking, "Wow, Jesus is a rock star, man. Jesus is that." They have no idea that God is in the boat, that he is all that. Even the wind and the waves obey him. They're getting it. They were believing in the power of their circumstances because they could not control their circumstances and they were afraid. And now they are beginning to experience the power of his presence with him as he speaks to the storm. They are realizing God is in the boat and that he is completely in control of everything, including our lives, and they are terrified. They are terrified. I think sometimes that's me and you. I think sometimes we love that cuddly little baby in the manger. We love reading those beautiful Beatitudes. Wow, what a great teacher he is. We might even be up for a miracle or two to fix our mess. And then we realize, wow, he's holding my life in his hands. He's holding my eternity in his hands. This storm that in my life that I'm afraid of, he completely controls the storm. He allowed it. He brought me into it. He controls the planet the storm is on. He created the universe that the planet is in. He controls all of it. They're realizing that he's God and that he's in the boat. And they're realizing that they just try to call him out for how he handles his business. "Jesus, don't you care? Really? You want to call out God for how he's handling things because you're in a storm and you don't like it? That's scary. That's scarier than the storm. You're going to call out God?" And this dread sweeps over the disciples as they realize, oh, wow. Wow. We're starting to get who this is. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." God has placed you in the storm. You're there because he wants you there. God has placed you in the storm, and even though the storm is difficult and it is scary and it is unexpected and you can't control it, He's done it so that you can know Him more. He's done it so your faith will grow. He wants you to learn to trust Him with you not being in control and trusting that He is. And that He loves you. Do you know when you're never going to experience another storm? Because He promises you will. He says in this world you're going to have trouble. He promises storms. When you're not going to have any more storms is when you cross the sea of this life and you arrive on the shores of heaven. Because part of the storm is getting to know Him, and when you get to that point, you'll know Him completely when you go to heaven. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." And at that point, the window shade is up, and He's saying, "Here I am. Don't need any more storms." When we exercise saving faith in Jesus, when we put our trust in Jesus, He spares us really from the very worst storms. We never go through it because He did. The worst storm was at the cross. The worst storm ever was at the cross. And that was our storm that we deserved to be in. And He went to that storm for us so we wouldn't have to. In Him, the storm of the wrath of God against your sin, He sailed through it so you never have to go through it. He saves us from the power of sin, from perishing in sin, even from the fear if we'll receive it, if we'll walk in freedom. And He gives us His righteousness and His peace. And He says to us, this is in John 14:27, He says, "Peace, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." Whatever the storm is tonight, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Why were you afraid? He says. I don't know what storm you need to talk to Him about for Him to help you to know Him more, for Him to grow your faith, for Him to do whatever His purpose is in that storm, but I know that we all have them. So as we said earlier, the altar is open. If you want to come up, I want to welcome you to do that. And if you want somebody to pray with you, we can or not. That's fine. It can just be between your heart and God's heart. But worship team, if you'd come back up, I'm going to pray for us. And the altar is open.